the singing was good tonight. We thank the Lord for it. I especially like that last song, don't you? Young people having the desire to sing for the Lord. Amen. Let their light so shine. Amen. Let me tell you, it makes me proud to be associated with them. Amen. With all the things that the kids today are choosing to do. To have some that still want to be in the house of the Lord, lifting up His name. It really excites my soul this evening. In the book of Hebrews, the faith book, if you are over in the faith chapter, I should say, if you want to go there with me tonight and try to just preach for a few minutes of time in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. This thought's been up on my heart, and I want to try to share it with you tonight and exhort my brothers and sisters with the help of the Lord. Because as we preached on Wednesday night, we need to lift each other up. We need to help each other make it down the road another mile or two. Because we all have part of the final victory. And can you imagine what heaven's going to be like when we get there, just to be able to rejoice together. Not saying this is how I made it or how you made it. But we'll all say it the same thing. It's because of Jesus Christ that we made it to heaven. And being a part of that great family of God. In the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter, if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, go with me if you would, down to the end of my page, verse 23, is where we'll start reading at tonight. He says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And stop reading there with that 27th verse, and you can be seated in the house of the Lord. I'd like to take our thought text tonight from the 25th verse when he says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And preaching tonight a message that we preached in years gone by, or the text that we preached in years gone by, simply entitled, I am a Christian because I choose to be. I am a Christian because I choose to be. And as I said it about these young ladies, and we could say it about all of us tonight, that there are many, many places that you and I could choose to be. There are things in life that we could choose not to do, and our neighbors and our co-workers wouldn't say one word to us about it. Society wouldn't say anything to us about it. But I see that we have made a choice. As Moses made that choice, he could have stayed in Pharaoh's house. He was next in line, if you'll have it, to succeed the throne and be a great ruler. And he saw all the riches and the education and everything that he had. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with those in the right place at the right time. But he said, instead of me staying here and being educated and having all that the command and the throne of Egypt, when it come to his mind and his heart about the people of God, he forsook all of that, leaving that behind him and pressing toward that which God had called him to do. He could have stayed there and nobody would have said anything bad about him because they didn't know. And I believe this with all my heart. You remember that the Bible says that his sister followed him when his mother put him in the bulrush, in the ark of the bulrushes, and sent him down the river, and his sister followed along. And I believe mom wasn't too far behind. And you remember that they took even his mother into Pharaoh's daughter's house, and she was able to raise him. Now, this is Roger's thoughts, and I believe that I can back it up with Moses' life. But I believe with all my heart, in the hours when nobody else was around, she did not tell him about how great he was to be Pharaoh's son and to be in line for the throne. But what she told him about was about a God who loved him even more than I love you, Told him about a God that would send a Savior to rescue His people, which you're one of them tonight. And I believe that she told him about a God that her fathers had told her about, that she'd heard in some messages from the priest being preached, that God will not endure forever, but in the right season, at the right time, God is going to send us Messiah to save His people from their sins. And when he come to age, for 40 years he was in Pharaoh's house. But one day when he saw one of his brethren, the Bible, Kenny, he says he saw his brethren. He knew it was one of his brethren, even though he was taken as an Egyptian. He was not an Egyptian. He was still one of those Hebrew children. And he saw that, and he went out and he slew the Egyptian. And you remember the story, how that when he did that, somebody saw him, some of the other fellows saw him. And the next day they said, what are you going to do? You going to slay us also? They knew that there was something different about this man than there was about the rest of the royalty in the household of Pharaoh. Moses at that point purposed it in his heart that he was going to leave Pharaoh's house. He could have got out from underneath that murder charge, if I can just preach it like that, because he was Pharaoh's daughter's son. He could have got out from underneath that. And we know how the law works. But instead of that, he said, it's time for me to leave. I can no longer stay here and see my people pushed down and abused, beaten, and even their lives taken from them. It's time that I go and see where the Lord would have me to work. Because you see, Moses did that in his own hand. It wasn't God telling him to do that. If God would have worked it, God would have moved it in such a way that he would have been able to stay or be able to leave, whatever God would want him to do. But Moses said, I cannot no longer stay here where I'm at. I'd rather choose, as we read this scripture, I'd rather choose to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'd rather choose to be a Christian than to stay where I'm at and act like I'm happy and everything's all right, when I know down on the inside that everything is not all right. You and I today have a choice. We did not have to choose to be Christians. We could have chosen many a different routes to take. And people in society would think no different of us if I said I was a Mormon, or if I said I was an atheist, or if I said that I was a Muslim or some other major religion. They would not think anything different of me, because we live in a pluralistic society that they just accept everything. And we could have fit in, and our lives may not have looked that much different than what the rest of the world does. But aren't you glad today that in spite of what the world says is all right, that there was a gospel church somewhere with a preacher that preached us the truth, that it's not just about a bit fitting in society and the world saying everything's all right with you. But it takes more than just that. It takes you having a clear conscience with God, knowing that everything you have done, that you have chosen to be a child of the living God. We could be even a devil worshiper, because even our society today accepts that as a form of religion. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of religion. It's not religion that caused me to want to be a child of the living God, but it was because of salvation that I chose rather to be a child of the living God. Moses could have stayed there and everything would have been all right. You and I could have chose many different ways to live our life and everything would have been all right. But Moses, when he looked at his life, here he was 40 years of age. He went out, and for 40 years he was a shepherd. But Larry touched on this morning. One day when he was out tending his father Jethro's herd, he saw a bush that was on fire. It burnt, but it was not consumed. And he said, I must need to go see this fire, this bush that's on fire. And when he got there, some of us will remember when we first saw the fire from heaven in our lives. And you remember when he got there, the Lord told him to take off his shoes, for the land or the ground that you stand on, it's not just some other ground, but Kenny, it's holy ground. Does anybody remember the first time you stepped on holy ground? The difference that was in your life, that all the things that you thought was good, and maybe you tried to live a good life and you tried to do right, but still there was something that was missing in your home and something in your heart. And the first time you got to step on holy ground and you got to see the presence of the Lord, you said, this is what I want to be. I don't want to be just a church member, because there's a lot of just church members. I don't want to be just a church member. I don't want to be a part of a religion that is looking for their Messiah to come. Can I preach for a few minutes tonight? I'm glad my Messiah has already come, done the finished work on Calvary's cross, arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave on the third and appointed day, and He ascended back to the Father on the 40th day, and He's making intercession for you and I. And folks, He's not just there making intercession, but He is still saving men and women, boys and girls that want to be a Christian, to be a child of the living God, instead of just fitting in with some organization. We could be just a church member and society look at us and say they're pretty good people. But it's not what society that says about me that matters. It's what God knows about me. And it's when I lay down upon my bed knowing that if I never see the dawning of another day, that my family will have the peace and the assurance that if I don't see them again on this side, how many of you have told your family that I'll meet you on the other side of the river? I don't know where I'll be at. I've heard them sing songs through the years that says I'll meet you by the river. Some says that I'll meet you by the throne. Some says look for me at the feet of Jesus and that's where you'll find me. I don't know where I'll be, but Sister Sharon, I know this tonight with all assurance of my heart, is that regardless where you find me at, I'm going to be in God's big heaven somewhere, because I chose to be called a child of the living God. I know, and the folks, God just laid this on me, so I got to preach it tonight for a few minutes. I know that people look at us and they say, well, you could have done a lot of different things. And people wouldn't think any different, just like Moses. But it's not what people think. It's what you and God knows about you and your life is what makes the difference. You know what Moses said? Moses said in his word, it's like this. And the Bible doesn't give us the exact words like this. But he said, instead of having a kingdom on this world and having the riches of all that Pharaoh has, I'm looking for a kingdom whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for a kingdom that has a king that sits high on a throne, not just a king that the world has appointed, one that lives and dies and somebody else will replace him. But Kenny Banks, we have an eternal king that is after the order of Melchizedek, that he is a king of kings and the Lord of lords, and no other man will ever replace our king today. He was the king of our forefathers. He was the king of the patriarchs. He is my king. He'll be your children's king. And if time goes on, he'll be your great grandchildren's king if they'll open up their hearts and allow God to save them. No king, no man can replace our king. There was an angel that thought one time that he could take the place of our king. There rose a mighty warfare. And the Bible says that he attempted to dethrone our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I like it what the Bible says. It wasn't Christ who fought the devil and put him in his place, but he sent an angel to fight him and to bound him and the third of the angels that fell with him and cast him into hell and destruction. There have been those that's tried to overthrow him, but they've not been able. There's been times, and I got to follow my heart tonight. There's been times when society will tell us that that kind of religion, that kind of preaching is old-fashioned and you ought to move beyond it and get something that is new age, something that tells a different story. But you know what I found? The old story, it never never grows old. How that Jesus loves me and died for me, and how that He gave His life so that I could have life. Moses said, instead of having an earthly king, instead of having these earthly riches that it's not even mine, I'm going to rather choose to serve God, who's got a real kingdom with a real throne and a place in here. If Moses would have stayed there in Pharaoh's house, there would have been no doubt some kind of a man or an army that would have tried Larry. The greatest way to become king was to kill the one that was sitting on the throne. Someone would have tried to take him out so that they could replace him. He said, instead of doing all this, I'm going to serve the real King of Kings tonight, and I'm going to honor Him, because I know that it's not just a short life here, but I'll have an eternal life with Him in glory if I choose to serve God today. He said, I'm going to serve this God instead of staying here in Pharaoh's house. I believe that Mom told, and I like what Brother Eli said. I know what he was saying about you, Kenny. But I like his testimony, because I thank God for praying moms. I thank God for moms that tell their children about Jesus Christ and about His love for them, and bring them up in the fear and admonition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight. But I believe that Pharaoh's or Moses' mother told him all about God's master plan. Aren't you glad? For years I grew up in church all my life, and for years I heard about God's master plan. But it was just a story, until one day there was a knock on my heart's door. That day it was no longer a story. I've shared with the church, I'm going to share it one more time, that I even sat there during some services when I was under conviction, and I thought, how do these people know it's real? How do they know that it's not just some man working it up within them and the singers working it up? But that day when the Lord visited my heart, I found out it's something that you can't work up, but it's a real God that knocks upon your heart's door and lets you know that you're lost and headed for hell. Moses was concerned about the kingdom. Moses was concerned about his soul and where he was going to spend eternity, and about his Hebrew brothers and sisters, where they was going to spend eternity. And I want to get back to that mother that told him about the Lord, and I believe that she told him things like what we'll find in the book of Revelations, that Moses, if you'll hang on to this God and serve the God of your forefathers, in Revelations, the third chapter, in the first four, you'll find it that the Bible says that verse 5, the where God told him there, He said, if you'll serve me and be my child, I will not blot out your name from the book of life, but your name will be there for all eternity. And I have to pause and rejoice for just a minute, that there's a lot of things that my name may never make. It may never make the headlines in this world. I may never be in the newspaper, but praise God's 1972, my name was called out through the portals of glory, that here's another soul that was lost and is now found. And I, like Moses, don't have to worry about my name being taken out of the book, but my name is forever etched there in the Lamb's book of life. Can I preach for a few minutes of time? Some people might say, well, I thought when you got saved, that's when your name went into the book. The Bible teaches us, and I believe this with all my heart, from the beginning of time, God made heaven big enough that every man, woman, boy, or girl to ever be born could have a part in it. You know what God did? He put our name down in the Lamb's book of life. But because of sin and because of transgressions, because people have sinned away their days of grace, God has blotted out their name out of that book today. I know I'm in a Baptist church, but I'm just preaching the Bible to you tonight. He blots out our name. Praise God, I can rejoice from now on and never rejoice enough, Sister Bonnie, just to know, and I hope you feel like I do tonight, I'm honored that my name is found in a book in glory, that when the ages come and go, that my name will be called out of that book and presented before the Father, when God Christ says to the Father, Father, these are those that's come through great tribulation and had their robes washed white in the blood, my blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. I choose to be a Christian. I choose it because it's life. everlasting. I believe that it's also that what Moses' mom told him, not only would his name not be blotted out, not only would he be confessed before the Father and the angels which are in heaven, but also he told him this tonight. He said, if you'll follow God and live according to His Word, obey Him and serve Him, you know what He'll do? He says in verse 5 of the book of Revelation in the 3rd chapter, He says He'll put on a white robe that you'll wear for all eternity. Some folks might say, I can't wait to get to heaven, Billy, so I can get my white robe. Let me just preach my heart for just a few more minutes of time. I don't have to wait till I get there to get my white robe. I've already got the white robe. It's not because of my righteousness or because of my goodness, but when God saved me. How many of you know the story about the wedding? Anytime there was a wedding, they would bid them to come. Whoever was hosting the wedding, they would always keep extra changes of clothes in the closet, if I could preach it like that. So if somebody came in and they wasn't fit to attend the wedding, they'd usher them off in a back room and they would change their clothing, and then they would come out and be fit to attend the wedding. Let me tell you, there was a wedding that we was invited to years and years and years ago. And I got to put this in, Kenny, because some folks say, I can't wait till we get to heaven and the wedding takes place. And I know I'm in a Baptist church, but let me tell you one more time, the wedding already took place. Praise God. You say, when? Where was you there? No, I wasn't there, but I read about it and I believe it because of this. If there was no wedding, if it had not already taken place, you and I that are born again, we would be illegitimate children born out of wedlock. Praise God, I am not an illegitimate child. I am a true born again child of the living God. And Moses and I together say this, I'd rather be a Christian than anything else I know because of what God can do for me. Oh, hallelujah. I wasn't fit to attend. But I'm glad that the Master had a robe just with my name on it. It fits me. Sister Gray used to sing that song, Larry and Carlene. And some of you that used to go out Riverside know this. She used to sing that song that the best thing I ever did do was when I took off those old clothes and I put on these new ones. People say, well, you're still sinful. You're still in the flesh. Yeah, but my robe is not worn on the outside. I'm dressed up on the inside. I'm ready any day He calls to take my flight to the eastern sky and say, Lord, I'm here, and praise Him for all eternity. Moses also said, I believe he felt like this in verse 4. His mother probably told him, if you'll serve God, not only will He walk with you here. How many of you got God walking with you each and every day? He said, not only will He walk with you here, but in verse 4, he says it like this. He says, you will walk with Him in glory. Some folks, sometimes we get it all worked up within ourselves what heaven's going to be like. I don't know what it's all going to be like, but it says that we will walk together. Maybe for the first million years, Sister Debbie, we'll just stroll around heaven, seeing all the beautiful things that God has got prepared and adorned for His people. I don't know what all's going to be there. I have preached it like this ever since God laid it upon my heart. Heaven could be a place where there's nothing but a gravel road and city built out of two before. It doesn't matter to me, because some of the most beautiful places there are is not the Taj Mahals or the great cathedrals or palaces of this world. Every once in a while, I just like to get back and look at the beautiful things that God created. The little rivers, Wayne, and the streams and the woods and the forests. Can you imagine this tonight, church, for just a few minutes of time? We're going to walk hand in hand with God. Oh, when we get over there, and Moses is, you know what Moses said? Instead of holding on to Pharaoh's daughter's hand, instead of holding on to Pharaoh, I'd rather hold on to God and walk with Him today, not just in this world, but in the world to come as well. And Moses said, when I look at all these things, let me give you just a couple more. Maybe she told him that there's such a thing as knowing that you pass from death unto life. She told him about salvation.
And folks say, well, salvation wasn't real back then. Let me preach just what the Word says. That many of our fathers, even though the Messiah had not come, they died in faith looking for the Messiah to come. Now, and I'm in a Baptist church, and I know that, Kenny. And I just got to preach what the Word of God says. Folks, let me tell you, when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, not only was His blood for good for those people of that day, but His blood flowed forward as well. And I can't stop there, but His blood also flowed backward. He went to preach to those that was in the prisons. People say, well, those that was in the prisons are those that died unbelieving. No, sir. Those that He preached to was those that died faith believing that God would send the Messiah to give His life a ransom for their souls. They died believing, and when Jesus died upon the cross, can you see this tonight? I see those people, and I've said this many times in the church, and it excites me as much tonight as it has any other time that I've ever preached about it, but I can see them souls locked up in that prison, Larry Jones, but can you hear the man coming down the hallway, and he's got the keys in his hands to loose you and to set you free? I'm sure there was rejoicing as soon as they heard the door open, and they heard the keys coming down the hallway. People say, how can you preach that? Because I remember when I stepped out behind the pew, I did not have to wait to get to the altar to get saved. Kenny, I was already saved when I stepped out, faith believing that God would save me. And not only did they get to walk out of that prison, but the Bible says that many of them that slept got to go on home and be with Him. They was part of the first fruits of God getting to go on home to be with the Lord. And I'm sure that Moses' mother told him about that if you'll walk with God, yes, there are some rewards in this life. And I don't want to mislead you tonight. This life has got rewards while we're here. And again, don't fall out with me tonight when I preach about this. But let me tell you that the Bible says if we'll walk with God, we've got rewards waiting for us when we get to heaven. And people, we have ignored this in our Baptist churches, and we've put it to the sideline for so many years and days past. But folks, I believe that God rewards each and every one that works for Him in this life. We've got rewards waiting for us up there. The Bible says that one of the greatest things we'll have. How many of you know that you got a crown waiting for you when you get to glory? And when we get there, we'll have that crown. And people say, well, I hope my crown is bigger than yours. And I've heard some say, well, because you're a preacher. I had a sister tell me this one time. She said, because you're a preacher, I'm sure you'll have more gems in your crown than I'll have in mine. I believe it just like this. Every one of us has got the same crown because we are the children of God, and He is not a respecter of person. But I don't want to get you all high and lofty and lifted up tonight for too long, because the Bible says you better not get used to wearing it, because every one of us will take our crowns and our rewards and we'll lay them at the feet of Jesus. He's the one that deserves to be lifted up and to be honored tonight. Moses' mother told him, you've got some rewards if you'll go. But more than that, no doubt she told him, your life down here is short. But if you will serve this God of our fathers, your life will be such that you won't have to worry about dying. Yeah, Moses died. Y'all remember in the Bible, the Lord took him up on a great high mountain. He did not get to go into the promised land because he disobeyed God. He did not get to go into the promised land. But before he left here, God took him up on a high mountain. And he got to look over into Canaan land. I believe that Moses left here shouting, don't you? Because you see, what he saw in Canaan land was just a little touch about what his mother told him. And not just stop there, but I'm sure she went on to tell him, yes, God's got a land for His people, but He's got a heavenly land that is far more beautiful than any land that this world could ever paint a picture of. He said that he would rather choose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Our people today still have a choice. We have a choice. We can choose to live in this world and live in sin, but it's only for a short time. Or we can choose to serve God and have an eternal life with Him in heaven above. And I had to go back to Joshua for just a few minutes of time in the 24th chapter. And you Bible readers know this verse quite well. Then the 15th verse, when Joshua told them about choosing whom you'll serve. And you can choose tonight whether you make God your God or you choose one of the lesser gods to be your God. Let me tell you, can I pause for just a minute? If my God that I serve could not do all things that I stand in need of, I would leave Him and search for a God that could do those things which I have need of. But I believe I need to get a witness here tonight in this church house on a Sunday night. I declare to you there's nothing under the sun that I've ever needed, anything that I would ever hope for, anything that I could ever speculate upon that my God has not been able to deliver time and time and time again. When the kids were sick, He was able to heal them. When the finances were bad, He was able to put food on the table. He was able to put shoes on the feet and a roof over the head. When the times of disappointments come, He was there to lift me up. In the times of brokenheartedness, you know what He did? He said, just pick up those broken pieces. Bring them to me and I'll put them back together again. How could we not choose the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob tonight? And Joshua said it like this: if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the flood, for the gods of the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Let me tell you how foolish it was in Egypt. They worshiped cattle. Cattle was their gods. And that's where some of our religion today is, that when you die, you're reincarnated and come back as a cow. Let me tell you. First of all, God does not reincarnate spirits. When we leave this world, He takes our spirit home to be with Him. And I don't know about you, but I'm not coming back as a cow. If God tarries His coming, I'll come back on the clouds of glory. People say, how are you coming back? I'm coming back with Him, Larry Jones, to get the rest of the church. But I'm not coming back as a cow or a dog or any other animal. I'm not even coming back as another human being. I'm coming back as a resurrected saint of the living God with a glorified body likened unto Him. But He said this: you can serve the gods that you served in Egypt, or you can serve the gods that these Amorites serve. They all had false gods. They were wood and metal and silver and gold. Things that was made that had eyes that couldn't see, ears but couldn't hear, had mouths but couldn't speak. Has anybody heard from God today? Y'all help the pastor. You're afraid I'll preach another half hour. Has anybody seen God move today? Has anybody touched God today? Oh. That's what Joshua was saying. How in the world can you serve these lesser gods? He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I choose to be a Christian. Not just because of heaven. And I want to close with this thought right here. But if there was no life after this life, I heard a woman the other day at work say, I know that people don't believe this, but she said, I believe that there'll be animals in heaven. When they die here, they'll get a new spirit and they'll go on to heaven and live there. Let me tell you, the Bible says God only put a soul in one thing, and that's man that He made. Every other thing He made is just an animal. When it dies, it's dead. There's no life in it. It's gone. But when a child of God dies, folks, there's hope after the grave that we're going to have. And let me put it this way. I don't want to leave out the unlost or the lost tonight. Because when they die, they're going to be resurrected also. But it's not going to get to go to that beautiful city that God's prepared. But it's to go to an awful place called hell and destruction. But if there was no heaven to go to, I'd still rather choose to be a child of the God that I serve. People say, why? Because He helps me each and every day. Some folks, Villa, might say it's just a figment of your imagination. I say, like a song they sung back in the 70s. If heaven's a dream, just let me dream on. If there is no God, just let me go on walking. But I heard a preacher in years gone by when a man proposed that to him. And the man said, how do you know that there is a heaven? How do you know that there is a God that you serve and you give all your time and you give all your energy to and you believe in so strongly? The man posed a question back to him. He says, what if I'm wrong? What have I lost? He said, but if you're wrong, what have you lost? I'd rather be a child of God than any title this world has. Some of you at family members' funerals, you've heard me say this, and Rob Sharon get a song of invitation, that many of our family members have many titles while they're here. They're children, their parent, or the husband or a wife, their moms and dads, their grandmas, grandpas. They're members of churches, they're deacons, they're preachers, they're different offices that they hold in the church. But I declare to you tonight by the authority of God's Word, the greatest title that there is being an old-fashioned, born-again, bought by the blood, child of the living God. Because that title not only stays with you here, all those other titles we leave on this side, but that title goes with us to the other side. And I'd rather be a child of God than any other title that I know. I'd rather be a child of God than be the President of the United States. You know why? Because soon he's going to be kicked out of office. Oh, some of you say, oh, he's politicking. They come and go. But children of God, it's something that the devil himself cannot take away from us. That ought to make a Baptist church on a Sunday night want to praise the Lord and just shout to the high heavens. To know that we've got a title. We've got a Savior who said, I'll stick closer than a brother, sister, mother, or father to you. I'll be there no matter what hour of the day or night it might be. I'll do more for you than anybody can ever do for you. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. But I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. People say, well, when you get to time to die, God has left you. No. He'll be there with outstretched arms. So welcome us in to that beautiful place that He's prepared for us. Tonight, have we got anybody else in the house that'd rather be a Christian, that choose to be a Christian? How many of you tonight chose to be a child of God? I chose to be, and I'm happy with the decision. There's been a lot of things that we choose, and later on we're dissatisfied with the decision we make. Even now they got it when you buy a new car or a house, you got 3 days to try it out to see if you like it. If you don't like it, you can take it back. Let me tell you, I wouldn't take back what God's given me for all the money that this world has to offer, because the riches of this world are going to perish with fire one day. But what I have in God, it's going to live on and on and on for eternity in heaven. Amen. I choose to be a Christian. Amen. And I'll close with this. Sometimes people have asked me in years past, Tom, and they said, you know, you guys go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and we have revivals and special services. Seems like y'all just go to church all the time. Could you do something more fruitful with your time than wasted in church? And you know what? In fact, they say like this, you have to go. You know what my thought is? I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. Amen. Amen. I get to go and see my brothers and sisters. I get to go and feel the presence of the Holy God. I get to go and magnify His name as these singers have done tonight and did such a wonderful job. And I don't know about you, Sister Violet said this morning it was worth her coming to church and just to hear your testimony, Sister. Tonight, and I amen that. And tonight I'd have to say it was worth coming to church just to hear these two young ladies get up here and sing that song. And I'm not discrediting Tara, y'all's song. You sung a wonderful job. But to hear those two sing their song, because I know it came from the heart. But folks, even more than that, I would rather come to church and there be no singing, be no fellowship. Just let me feel the presence of God and I will be at home in the house of the Lord if I can feel His presence and I can rejoice if nobody sings at all, nobody testifies, nobody has a prayer request. Because folks, and I don't mean to hurt your feelings tonight, I did not come to hear the prayer request. I did not come to see who was going to sing. I come to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And if we use all those things to do it, then so be it for His glory. Somebody's going to get the pastor wrong and say, he don't want us to prayer request anymore. He don't want us to sing anymore. That's not my word. My word is, folks, I've seen folks start out testifying and the church just break out in a shout. I've seen folks start singing a song that God laid up in our heart and folks just start rejoicing because God sent it. Folks, we don't have to have preaching to rejoice. We can rejoice because we are the redeemed of God tonight. But I like preaching. Some of you say, that's because you're a preacher. I like preaching because that's what saved my dying soul. And folks, we ought to just worship Him because we chose. But before I chose Him, He first chose me. And I'm trying to find a hush in place. Listen at this tonight. It'll go with the message this morning. He chose me knowing I would fail Him. He chose me knowing that I would upset Him with my actions and my deeds and my works. He chose me knowing that I was a failure. But still, He chose me. And because He chose me, I looked at Him through a spiritual eye tonight. And because He chose me and I saw all that He had done for so many others. But the greatest reason I chose Him was not because of heaven. It was not because of the church, but I chose Him because I saw myself dying and going to hell for all eternity. And He said, I can save you from that awful place. And you know what I did? I said, Lord, I'm going to step out faith believing. And I didn't say all these words. Now I can look back and see my actions. I step out faith believing that if I will surrender to You, You'll save me from that awful place. Anybody else know what I'm preaching about? You know what I found? He was sure to His word. I am saved today because He chose me and I chose Him. Tonight, if you've never chose Him to be your Savior, you need to do that. And for those of us that are Christians tonight, that have lost our enthusiasm, it's not where it used to be for serving God. Let me tell you tonight, God owes us nothing. He's already done everything. We need to be like Moses and look at this world and say, world, you have nothing to offer me. You have nothing. And I'm trying to hush. When I look at all that God has already given me, brother, this world has nothing to compare with what God. People say, well, what about the money and the riches? Have you not read that my Father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills? Have you not read that all the riches of this world belongs to Him anyway? Have you not read we drive on asphalt down here in concrete? You know what they walk on in heaven? It's streets of gold today. You know what that means? We use the most worthless material there is to pave our roads. In heaven, gold is worthless because the real gem is sitting high on a throne there. And His people will worship Him for all eternity. While they sing tonight.
Go ahead.
I can preach for another half hour. God bless you tonight. Aren't you like Moses? I'd rather be a Christian than any other thing that this world has. I'd rather suffer the afflictions. Yes, we're talked about. We're put down. We're cast aside. But Jesus told the disciples, He said, expect it. He said, they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. Expect the world not to love you. Not to be enthused like you are about God. But there'll come a day that they'll search for your God. And they'll look to you to help them find it. Yes. Listen to this next verse in chorus. Many things I'd like to be as a journey here below. Yes. But I wouldn't trade it for my relationship with God. Yes. Amen. That's me tonight. I'd rather be a child of God than any other that this world has to offer. Everywhere I go, yes, amen. Yes, since He brought me out, amen. Look at the God that we serve. You know, He's the only God, only Savior that gave His life and arose victorious over the grave. Buddha is still dead. Muhammad is still dead. But Jesus Christ, when they went looking for Him, He was gone. And just to show it wasn't somebody that come and stole His body away. You know what He did? The Father sent the angels to roll away the stone so they could look down and see He's not here. And to prove that He wasn't stolen, He showed Himself. The Bible says, I had them all together to over 500 brethren to just show. And even Thomas said, I won't believe that He arose unless I see Him for myself. That's us tonight. That was me. Remember, I said that in my testimony. But one night, I got to see Him in a way that no dead person could ever walk around. People say, did you actually see Him eye to eye? Not with these natural eyes. But folks, I saw the Lord in the midst of the grand old church. And He was sending out the call to each and every one that was lost and undone. And I was one of them. And I'm still amazed to this day that He chose me to be a part of His great kingdom. Amen. And just think, I get to spend eternity thanking Him for it. Amen. It's been good to be here tonight. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord.